myself on the script, so I got it.
There. Is that working? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Welcome, everyone. Should we call the meeting to order? It's October 1st, and October 1st civil meeting of the Civil Service Commission. And first we should go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Julie Hurston, the chair.
I'm Joe Vanderstoop. Would you like us to let you know if we have conflicts of interest?
Oh, yes, please do.
I have no conflicts of interest.
Eileen Sherry, Civil Service Examiner.
Scott Weiss, Deputy Police Chief.
Dan Reisfeld, Commissioner. I have no conflicts to report.
Rich Daniels, Commissioner. I always have a conflict to report. And it's the same one continuing each month. That's my involvement with the County Commission that allocates the therapeutic sales tax proceeds. The department is the recipient of funding under multiple programs funded by that tax.
Commissioner Trenton Byrd, no conflicts.
All right. Okay, then we can move along to public comments, and I don't see any members of the public here today. So we can continue on to new business and review our September 3rd regular meeting minutes. Have you all had a chance to look them over? Should we look them over for a minute?
I move that we approve the minutes.
One correction request. Yep. Under new business, the discussion of Skype interviews. If I recall correctly, I think we did more than just discuss. I think we also rendered a decision that we would deny one request to actually conduct a Skype interview.
Well, my recollection of the decision was that it remained status quo, so that's why it's not recorded otherwise.
Okay.
You're not cheating.
Okay.
So I can accept that.
So I heard a motion.
Motion to approve.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The minutes are approved. And now, shall we hear a status report of the hiring process?
Happy to do that, but I understand that the deputy chief might like to go on
okay.
First.
Oh, I
can. Because the police chief called and said that you need to leave as quickly as
yes.
possible?
Yes. Well, the only thing I have to report from the police department is we have hired an officer. It was one of the laterals.
Okay.
He starts October
14th. October 14th,
right.
Yeah. Great hire,
I think. Yeah, I think so, too.
Good.
Great.
Wonderful.
He's a lateral from Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's it, as far as I know, from the police department, unless anybody has any questions.
Will he be able to be active fairly soon since he's a lateral, or does he have to do some?
Yeah, so go through the field training program, right. And then he's required to go to the next available equivalency academy since he wasn't trained in this state. And that's, at this point, the next one's going to be, that he can get into, is going to be in January.
Okay.
So he should be able to go through the entire FTO process and then go straight into that lateral academy, which is 2 weeks.
Great.
Oh, lovely.
Good news.
Okay.
Good.
And how many openings are? That leaves
at least one.
One?
Good.
So I'm going to segue right into what we're status,
very good.
Which is that the panel will be held next week for the next set of interviews.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll be able to get another set of applicants to be reviewed. Let's see, any potential candidate.
Yeah. Anything else I can answer for
thanks for being here. I've got a credit schedule.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was easy. You bet. Have a good rest of your week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. And that was that it for the hiring process?
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I will say that we're only going to be doing 1 day of interviews. I've been doing 2 days until now. I don't think we have enough candidates to do the second day yet.
Okay.
So,
should this come out? Do we have candidates?
We're going to have six. We're going to do 6 interviews.
How do they break down versus lateral and?
No laterals. We have no laterals. We have no laterals
level.
Applying. All entry.
Okay.
And that's a part of what I'm looking at. And again, I can segue into the next topic, which is the conference. It was very clear from the conference that PST is seeing the dilemma of what's happening in this state all around in terms of the competition. And, I mean, I think the conclusion is that we have to move fast. And that is what I'm trying to do, which is kind of see that, I think. As soon as I see someone that I think can get added on, if I can even do a half day next, or don't have someone come out of this next set of interviews, we'll see if we get the panel going on that. So that's what we really have to do.
I'd like to get a chance to hear John. He's been very well engaged for a long time. He's got a pretty good track record of having a real good assessment.
Yeah, he was really helpful, I think, and particularly helpful, I think, for me being a new person to the particular process, so I really appreciated being there. And a couple of other things just to share with you from the conference.
Okay.
The U.S. Court of Appeals Ninth Circuit, they just went over the case, you guys already know about this, that if you have a conditional offer, it's not considered real if you are saying that it's pending the polygraph exam or anything else that could be potentially something that could lead to a claim of disability. It's really what's underlying all this. It's about the ADA, et cetera. So we're in conformance with all that, the way we do our offers, so we're okay. But that's sort of a word to the wise for some of the other departments around the state. New CJTC standards effective January 1st. They're going to do squat thrust instead of the run when they go to the PST testing. It looks kind of interesting.
Squat
1 minute of squat thrust.
Oh. Instead of running.
Instead of running.
Squat thrust. Yep. Do you know, did they give you a definition?
They showed us.
Oh.
I mean,
I have a vision in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty difficult.
Like burpees.
Very similar to burpees.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And what?
Instead of running.
Yeah, because I think it's
the
new CJT standard, so I'm assuming that they believe that it's.
especially get away from high impact type things for older people that might have more joint problems not affecting.
It's really kind of an endurance test too. Isn't
yeah,
it? Really pretty heavy.
Yeah, they'll wear you up pretty fast when you start going.
It's sort of an interesting thing, though. I mean, it seems like as a police officer, you probably need to be able to.
Yeah,
run
I know. I said the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, you do, and then there's a lot of tension back and forth. You know, over physical requirements and how you test.
Uh-huh.
But the military side the same thing. And, you know, when something grabs traction, like high impact exercise, sometimes people go a little overreact and respond to it.
You need to be able to run or have a dog that can run.
Well, if you got a dog run, you got to catch the dog because you get in trouble if you don't call the dog fast enough and if you're in there, you can't call the dog. Ask me how I know that. I can show you the summons of complaint.
Rich, maybe you could answer what everybody else says, but maybe, you know, maybe police officers don't actually have to run after suspects all that often? Is that like, depending, I'm sure, where, but...
It depends where. And you know, it's highly regional and localized. The station I trained at, and I had a TO that liked to bait me to run and liked to bait me to fight, just because it's part of the ego thing back then. And I would probably, in my 6 months of field training, I probably did 10 or 15 foot pursuits.
Okay.
Once I got out on my own, I probably did maybe 2 a month.
Well, that's something.
But then, you know, when I got to more sedate environments, you know, I worked at Crescent Valley Station, which was like the nice areas, and went a year and never chased anybody on foot.
Yeah.
You know, you say stop and they stop. It's like, oh, what happened?
I would imagine that's still similar to Bainbridge.
It's really variable. I don't see a whole lot of foot pursuits here. The other thing about running, though, is it's very important to maintain cardiovascular health and just ordinary health.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people I worked with. In fact, I just got word last night one of them died on a hiking trail after he retired. A lot of people get cardio problems and health problems that are attributable to lack of exercise. So you run not only to catch somebody, but
right.
You also run so you don't get the heart attack 20 years from now. And there's kind of different philosophies. But the amount of physical work you do in the line of duty is really highly variable depending on where you work.
Sure.
And there are a lot of no-impact cardio exercises you can do. I can see how keeping your heart in shape, you could do something no-impact, but it seems like you have to be able to run the thing. Anyway,
okay,
go ahead. Enough about that.
There is a new PST rule, and that is going to be effective in November, that if the department posts a new vacancy in position, the applicant still have 30 days to add the department. So before this, they had to list what departments they were interested in before. Mm-hmm. Now, if, and it's sort of a strategy thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's right. Interesting they obviously changed that for some.
It's a strategy, yeah. And that's trying to deal with this 5 and Chapter Act fast. Mm-hmm. All the departments have to act fast. They've got applicants that they want to.
So the applicant doesn't have to disclose other departments that they're applying to for 30 days? Is that what this is saying?
No, it just adds, they have the opportunity to add a department after 30, they have 30 days to add a department. I'm sorry, to make sure this is correct. 30 days to add a department. Before that, they couldn't add. Once they selected,
See. Okay.
Now they can add.
So it opens up a competition.
So if I call an applicant, for example, and say, I see that you're on the PST list, looks good. Are you interested in that? That's not going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So, I thought it was pretty clever on their part. Mm-hmm. An interesting thing. So, we have to be careful about how we post vacancies and have the opportunity to trigger those kinds of notices to applicants. So, keep an eye on that. New website launch with PSD. That's going to be another week. They're going to do some training. I haven't seen it yet. I don't know how it's supposed to be user friendly. Recruitment, the applicant pool is diminishing. This is no news. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. Faster, blah, 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 blah. We did take a look, and I did spend quite a bit of time looking at ACMA's website. They've got a really neat website. Mm-hmm. Very active, emphasizing process, community, testimonials, things like that. I mean, there's work to be done there.
Great.
Yeah. PSD also has 11 new investigators, which I think is really interesting, for background investigations. They're averaging 32 days for background investigations, but our policy here is for the department to do background investigations. I talked with Kate a bit. I don't think there's any interest in making a change in that right now, but I want you to be aware of what's out there.
We've discussed that quite a few times. And,
did you? Okay.
The department has been resistant to changing the policy. Some of us have advocated that they do change the policy for a number of reasons, if you all remember, but...
It's because the 32 days is a really short turnaround time.
Yeah, and it's not so much that the department, I think they do a really good job most of the time, it's just that there have been some situations where it might have been better to have somebody
outside to
do it.
Okay, and then along the same lines, their marketing iDetect is the most efficient pre-employment screening tool, place on polygraph. Now, are you feeling that we...
The eyes are reviewed
as you are answering questions, and it's supposed to be more accurate.
Okay. I remember a couple of years ago they had that
machine. Yes, remember that? He had it at one of the conferences. It was pretty amazing.
He demoed that at the ACMA conference.
Okay, so now they're really up and running on that.
It's been proved to be
20 to 40 minutes.
Did anyone ask, though, if that technique is either passed for Daubert or Kelly Fry testing?
I didn't hear what you just said.
Did anyone ask John, or did John speak to whether that eye test met the Daubert or the Kelly Fry standards?
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
So
that's
probably
a big one. I asked John, and he kind of stalled on that.
Oh, interesting.
And the Daubert and Kelly Fry are two different standards used to determine if a scientific test is reliable.
Mm. And also if it's admissible.
Daubert's used in most states and in the federal courts. Kelly Fry is used in California courts.
But if it's not admissible in court.
And the idea is if you can't pass those standards.
So I've got some questions out to them about it. I'm not sure that we would use it in place of the polygraph, but it's certainly one of those things where I've seen with
polygraph also has not been able to pass Daubert or Kelly Fry.
But we can eliminate some potential candidates early rather than go through the whole background that we spend so much money and time on.
Well, that's where you go to the question. If we eliminate the candidate using an invalid test,
right.
That invites the question, what happens when we get challenged for using an invalid test?
I was going to say, if the candidate was not offered a job and they found out it was because of the results of their polygraph test, I mean, because they aren't admissible in court as far as...
You have to have more than just that. You're going to eliminate them. You need to have, and of course, that's big, well documented, but they need more than just the polygraph.
I'm going to say
the same is true for hiring.
But in California, we would use a polygraph, but you couldn't pass or fail a polygraph. The background investigator would get the results and the polygraph. I think I see deceptive answers on these question areas. Mm-hmm. And then the background investigator knew where to focus his time.
They're not really designed to be the lead. Mm-hmm. It's to follow. Just in other words, if there already is a concern, like what Rich is saying, they use this to identify some areas. But it's not to be the definitive thing that you're using.
Exactly. And the fear I would have, if you're trying to disqualify people on the eye test, how about using a Ouija board instead? And, legally, the Ouija board falls in the same category as the eye test until it can meet Kelly Fry or Daubert.
Okay, I didn't ask that specific question. I didn't hear it being asked, but he sounded very confident. His head was...
Yeah, and he really started doing the two-step.
It is the future.
But if the polygraph doesn't do that either, then it's kind of other upsides of
it. Well, the difference is the polygraph, even though it has been around so long, that there's a lot of data. So they have a lot of information that makes it, even though what Rich is saying is not necessarily, you can challenge it in court, it's still, there's so much data that... I'm not saying it's always going to be admissible, but it's going to have a lot more weight.
Yeah,
and something that's new that we don't have a lot of data on still, and to prove that, anyway.
Same thing with the eye test. If someone gives us a suspect reading on the eye test, I think you're on shaky ground and you say you're disqualified because but you're on very solid ground. The background investigator goes, "Hey, guys, started squirming on these questions." Mm. And then the background investigator finds out why they started squirming on the questions. Yeah. That's useful.
Okay. Just want to let you know, we had a discussion last time about the police department having a number of people leaving. And I think one thing that brought up was, I'm not really sure what the numbers are and what those numbers are compared to, say, any place else, or what the reasons were. So we really kind of stopped the conversation at some point because we didn't have enough data. So I did do some checking. I think you asked me to do that. And so in the last 3 years, there have been 9 officers that have left. It sounds like a lot because we have about 30 right now. But two of them retired. 2 did not pass probation. 2 resigned. 1 found a job closer to home, which was quite a long ways away. 1 moved out of the area for a spouse's career, and 1 left for a different career track completely. So those are all kind of pretty varying reasons that don't lead to what we were talking about in terms of but it was an interesting discussion I did pass on. And the last thing I want to mention is some of you are having your terms come to end this December. The end of the year, and that is including Rich, Dan, and Julie. And Morgan is very interested in having all of the committees and commissions be somewhat standardized in the sense that everybody has to reapply if they're interested. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a solicitation for commissioners. Certainly want you guys to reapply if you're interested.
Okay.
And I will let you know as soon as it goes out. I'll make sure that you have a copy of all this. So,
can you remind me? Did you say the end of December?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So when do you think we have to reapply?
Well, I'm hoping they'll have this up and running by the end of October.
Okay. Just so we know. Okay.
And I forget, is it a 2-year commitment or a 3-year?
3-year. Yeah. Time flies.
Oh, I hate to see anybody leave. But anyway, I want to make sure we can do that.
I asked them if they plan to reapply. Is that an appropriate question?
I'm going to. I like doing this.
I'll reapply.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it some thought.
Okay.
Life is busy.
Yeah. Okay, I don't have anything else. Do you guys have anything else?
we don't have any more business listed. Does anyone have?
I think we talked a little about the housing thing last time. I don't know what, maybe I should have asked if this is any relevance, remember?
It's not in the documented, at least.
Okay.
Reasons for leaving?
Now you mentioned the two resigned, but we didn't get any application of the reasons or whether they would have been retained.
Yeah, and that stuff is really confidential. That's why.
Right.
Yeah, not a lot we can do with that.
It's good to have a general idea. Is everyone leaving because they're unhappy with...
Well, I think the thing about exit interviews, at least this is my experience, people don't say why they're really leaving.
That's true.
I think what the data shows is most people leave because they don't like their supervisor in those jobs. That's usually the reason, right? But people don't usually say that, for example, but...
My memory may not be accurate, but it seemed like we had one resignation who had been sort of iffy about coming or not coming, and then even after they resigned and asked to be reinstated, maybe. But well, then yeah, maybe we didn't or did, I don't
remember. Is that the man who never even started?
Something like that.
That
was one of the resignations.
The officer went to Bremerton. I had all the indications of that being grass being greener until you get there. And we did some work to facilitate him coming back.
That's right.
And I think that probably had a happy ending. When the prodigal son returns, it's time to celebrate.
And it could be that the other resignation was kind of in lieu of something being followed up on of a disciplinary nature. Sort of remember that even being in the paper.
I recall. I don't have the details, so I'm probably going to...
Oh, yes, you are correct. In fact, I do remember the officer now, and I remember why. It had to do with a wildlife issue, with a state game warden.
Interesting.
He misrepresented some...
Yeah, and that's how his scope
of... This is all public information. Oh, okay. It's not secret. We were told it was in the paper.
Yeah, and that wouldn't have been a retention issue. But the two uncharacterized resignations make me wonder. But I still have to think that given the difficulty in recruiting people, that effort in retention would probably be a good thing as well as effort in recruitment.
Well, yeah.
But I think we're doing well. It's wonderful that we only have one vacancy at this point.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't hear any supervisory problems in the list of exit interviews. That is a pretty common one here.
I think the concern will be when we have a new chief and how that affects everything from the top down, because anyone new coming in will have different views about how to run things.
Yeah.
It's normal. So.
I don't know, Matt made a lot of changes when he came.
He did. He did, and we can probably
assume...
And I bet
retention has been a whole lot better.
Yes, it has. I think
it was prior.
I think Matt did a lot of really good things with the department.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready to adjourn our meeting? Do we need a...
I'll move that we adjourn the meeting.
All right.
I second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, that was short.
You're welcome.
Apologies for completely spacing.